And we are back on Get Up on a very busy morning, live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. You see the squad we've put together. We're delighted to have Andrew Hawkins in for the first time. And we have plenty of football conversation coming up. But while you were sleeping, you may have missed this. It is the story, perhaps to this point, of the entire NBA season. That is Draymond Green. And this is what he did last night to Yusuf Nurkic. That spinning hit there in a game the Warriors would ultimately lose to the Suns after Draymond was ejected with a flagrant two in this moment. It is Draymond's third ejection of the season. He will now await a league office review of the possibility of another. Let's hear from Draymond after the game.
As you know, I'm not one to apologize for things I meant to do, but I do apologize to Yusuf. Because I didn't intend to hit him. I sell calls with my arms. I don't fall or to sell a call. I'm not a flopper. So I was just selling the call because he was grabbing me and pulling my hip back. So I spun away, and unfortunately, I hit him.
What's going on with him? I don't know. Personally, I feel like that brother needed help. And I'm glad he didn't try to choke me, but at the same time, and nothing to do with basketball, man. Like, I'm just out there trying to play basketball, you know, they're swinging.
All right, so lest you wonder what he's referring to, as you see, Wendy gets up with us early this morning as well. It was just last month that Draymond Green was suspended 5 games for that choke hold he put onto Rudy Gobert in that game. Here you see that moment there in which so many people were quite shocked by this, and then many were surprised that the suspension for this was only 5 games. Jay Williams and I among those who were surprised by that. And now this was only the 6th game back for Draymond Green after that suspension. And here's this. So again, we watch a lot of basketball. Jay Will, you played it at the highest levels. We see guys selling calls every night in the NBA. I don't know that we see anything that looks like that. What is your reaction?
Let's start with selling calls. Like, that was not selling a call. Like, there was nobody grabbing him or pulling him back. You watch the video evidence right there in replay in slow-mo, and that was it. That was a random swing. That was an assault swing. Now, look, it's really turning into a joke for me right now, Greeny. And I don't know why we live in a world where everybody wants to run to the defense of Draymond Green. Nobody is questioning his basketball IQ. Nobody is questioning his overall championship resume. I am questioning his behavior, because when you just get suspended 4 weeks ago, I'll give you another example. I lost my mom several months ago.
Yeah.
I was in an emotional state. I said something dumb on camera.
Right.
Okay? I'd have conversations with Jimmy Pitaro, conversations with Brooke Magnus, Dave Roberts, all of our bosses. Imagine me 4 weeks later going back on camera and saying something dumb again. I would lose my damn job. Mm-hmm. So to me, this shows me that Draymond Green lives in a world where he doesn't think there are any repercussions.
Yep.
There are no repercussions for his actions. He's going to get through it. He's going to be fine. Especially when you have a condescending attitude in the post-game presser where you don't seem remorseful at all. So for me, that calls 15 to 20 games, and I'm going to say it again. Draymond Green has a relationship with Joe Dumars where he's called him like a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's grew up in the Detroit locker room with the Pistons.
Yeah.
I get it. I think Joe Dumars needs to recuse himself, and I think the league needs to set a strong example that this type of behavior is inexcusable and does not need to be in the league.
Lest anyone doesn't know what he's referring to, Joe Dumars is, for lack of a better word, sort of the dean of discipline of the NBA, longtime Hall of Fame Detroit Pistons player, and now has all along had this relationship with Draymond and was the one who announced the 5-game suspension. Something I've not yet asked you, Wendy, take us through the process. So you wake up this morning, you're Joe Dumars, you're Adam Silver, and anyone else who will be consulted in this. They'll see this. They're certainly aware of all the conversation that's happening on shows like this one. Take us through the process. What will happen now?
Yeah, let's organize this into three things. One, you have Draymond's defense, which is that he didn't mean to hit him. The benefit of the doubt with Draymond Green has been retired. It was retired years ago. So you can... that's going to be his defense. They'll talk to him today. He'll say that. I think they will disregard it. Two, you have what I have now coined the Draymond multiplier. And that is in the last two suspensions, and that's an amazing statement that you can reference the last two suspensions within the last calendar year, one in the playoffs last year when he stepped on Domantas Sabonis, one when he choked Rudy Gobert earlier this season. Joe Dumars, both of those times on the record in the press release, said this suspension was more severe because there was the of his past history. So what then is the penalty for something like this? This is a flagrant two foul. He was ejected for a flagrant two foul. All flagrant two fouls would be reviewed by Joe Dumars and his team the day after. In this case, if this was John Smith, this is probably at least a one-game suspension, maybe depending on the severity of the swing, too. So the Draymond multiplier, my just guess would be, what, three times? Even if that's pretty severe, that's, you know, 3 to 5, 6 games. That's what it would be in a legal vacuum, in my opinion. I cannot predict what the league and Adam Silver might do to try to send a message. But if this was just in a presenting a cold case with the past history of the Draymond multiplier, that's what you'd be looking at. But there's one more thing I want to say. The biggest penalty here is to the Golden State Warriors. They are 2-5 this year in games where Draymond Green has either been ejected or suspended. Just in this game, Steve Kerr had made a major move. He had benched Kevon Looney and Andrew Wiggins in the third quarter of this game. He made Draymond Green his center. That's why he was guarding Nurkic in that moment. That's why he was hand fighting with him, because he's desperate for this team. Down the stretch of the game, he benched Klay Thompson. This is a crucial point in this season for this team, and for Draymond to face another suspension is very hurtful.
Absolutely. And as Wendy has pointed out multiple times, this is a $400 million basketball team they've put together. We may be seeing the sputtering end of one of the great dynasties in the history of American sports. And for it to be coming to this sort of head at this moment with this player, on some level, feels somewhat appropriate. Look, I'm a Big Ten fan, so I watched Draymond Green's entire college career. If you had told anyone when he was at Michigan State, this guy's going to make himself a Hall of Fame basketball player, they would never have believed you. I have the utmost respect for what this guy has done in his career. He has made himself into a truly great player. But this stuff cannot be condoned. Jane, we just can't do it. The multiplier is perhaps the right way to put it. I used to cover Dennis Rodman when he was with the Bulls. Dennis Rodman lost the benefit of the doubt, and Draymond Green has done the same. And so to me, the NBA, I think, would be well within their rights to set some sort of brand new precedent for this and let the union fight it if they want to. That's their job. That's what they're for. Let them do it, and I'm sure they will. And wherever it winds up, it winds up.
Well, Andre Iguodala and the head of the NBAPA, they will fight it. Probably they will get it, you know, diminished to a degree. But I would be very strong with this, because I would set an example that we no longer enable this type of behavior.
So this is the kind of topic that everyone waking up across the country has a reaction to, and my entire football crew has a reaction to it as well. So I'll just go around the group here and get thoughts. Again, I'll remind everyone that Dominique was the president of the NFL Players Association.
You don't have to remind them. What I'm about to say will remind them that I'm.
But also that you also work for the NBA PA as well.
I did. So I think what makes me nervous is when we let emotions get into our decision making process. There should be a clear process. If the rule is you get suspended 3 times in a season, then you get 15 to 20 games, I'm fine with that. But let us follow the rules. Don't start reacting in a situation right now to how you feel about a particular player or particular person, because you are then ceding a lot of power to the league. And frankly, I don't trust him. I like Adam Silver. Great guy. Love to talk to him. Would love to hang out with him. However, I don't want him or anybody else to have that much control and power. We are in a place in the NFL where we have done that. And I'm warning the NBA to not allow themselves to fall.
I understand.
Track.
You've said that multiple times this morning, and you know how much respect I have for you. I would ask you this question. In a circumstance where you are dealing with an unprecedented situation, which to some degree this is, then how do you handle it?
That's my point, is I don't think that it is unprecedented. If, as long as the league and their players are comfortable with this change, that's fine. But I don't think this is unprecedented. I used this example from 2012 when Ron Artest, is another player with a reputation, threw an elbow that did not
look like a mistake. We have the video. Here it is.
Threw an elbow that did not look like a mistake, caused a concussion for James Harden, and he got 7 games. My argument is not that we should not punish players for doing things like this. He deserved punishment for that. But this, to me, appears to be the precedent. A player with a history doing something like this He got 7 games for that. What Draymond Green did was less violent than that, and he's also a player with history. So maybe you're arguing that it should be higher now for him. Then let's go 8. Let's go 9. But you talking 15, 20, I think it's absurd.
But history in the same season.
Okay, that's
history in the same calendar year. And that's just not history over the course of the career. And also, we were talking about this during the break, and it's a valid point. When do we start thinking about protecting other players instead of just the
player?
Well, that is it takes us exactly to Hawk here, because while it is not apples to apples, you were a teammate of Vontaze Burfict in the NFL, and there are at least some similarities here.
Yeah, and that would be the question for me is, to Neek's point, like what the PA allows the league to do will set a precedent, whether they like it or not. And it's the PA's duty to protect and serve the players. The muddy area in the example you guys are giving, when I played with Vontaze Burfict, it became a situation where he was hitting players a certain way. And when they blew the whistle, he turned into a different guy. The PA had to decide, like, who are the players we're protecting? Because there are other players that he's going against are also a part of that PA. And they're saying, yo, you can't let this guy continue to hit after the whistle, go low, go at knees, hit us in the groin. And Vontaze was an incredible guy. But when the lights turned on and the whistle blew, he turned into a different player that he could not control the way that he played. So that'll be the question that the PA has.
Kmart, what is your – oh, I'm sorry.
No, I want to make it clear that I'm arguing for a process.
Yes,
that's
agree.
All. And
agree.
The process not only protects the players, but it also protects Adam Silver, because we find ourselves in a situation where we're all ridiculing Roger Goodell for not being punitive enough or being too punitive in certain situations because there's no clear process, there's no clear rules. So if Roger can point to something in the bylaws that says this many penalties leads to this result, then that protects him. That protects Adam Silver going forward. I just think that processes are important, and we can't let people let their emotions and biases get into, and maybe y'all just trust people more than me. I don't trust
spoken like a true COO.
No, that's, I get
process.
It.
Process. Love process.
What you're saying does make sense. I'm not going to say what you're saying does not make sense. I do think a lot of people have a lot of an emotional reaction.
Listen,
Kmart, go.
You're talking to a reformed goon. Her eighth grade girl's basketball team. So,
I was like, hold up.
You know, who was once called an animal by a parent for going for the ball, but I kind of got the girl's neck. So I understand emotions getting the best of you. However, the best soundbite of that entire thing was him saying, I'm just glad he didn't choke me. Like, that's where we're at. I'm just glad he didn't choke me. This is not, Draymond, when I respect him as a player, but he is his own worst enemy because he is bringing this on himself. Right. We literally just had a conversation weeks ago about him choking a guy, and he was suspended. And I'm questioning the privilege, the entitlement, where he's just sort of like, and he was just sort of like laissez-faire, like, you know, I'll apologize for things that I do that I meant, but you know, this, like, whoops. And that is why I don't understand how you could defend
again
this, because it's a repeat of offender situation.
Right. And this is what I'm talking about, processes. You don't want to get in a situation where defending individual players
because they
do wrong things sometimes. You want to make sure that you preserve it, because if you give them this power in the future, they will wield this sword against someone who does not deserve it. I know, experience.
Let me get Jeff's final word for the moment. Go ahead, Jeff.
I don't think for when you're talking about processes, you foresee a guy getting suspended 3 times in 31 days, right? I don't think you foresee a guy going and punching a fellow teammate in the face unprovoked, right? Like, I don't think you see. So at some point, it does become, hey, this is an exclusive situation. What are we going to talk about? So now we have to set a process. I'm good with that. But if you're saying that we can't, he's been fined $2.5 million, that doesn't bother him. He got suspended 5 games, didn't bother him. Whatever. But at some point, you got to do enough that it does bother him.
Not everybody thinks like you. There are some people that can't be reached through punitive measures.
I understand that. But what you're going to end up having is vigilante justice, right? Because some players are going to tolerate it to a level, and then there's going to be, to her use of word, a goon on a team. Go get them.
That's you.
So with, yeah, absolutely. And I'm all about that action, boss, right? Like, that's what we got to be. But that's my problem, because now we're not protecting our game.
Yeah.
We're protecting, and I think that to me, where I would be from the league is, listen, we're going to force guys to do something to protect their own pride.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in that business.
So everybody stay close. We have phone calls into everyone this morning. As soon as there's any update, you'll hear it. Wendy, thank you. Stay close by. We'll have more from Wendy, more from Jay, and more on this as we go. In the meantime, there's also a potentially huge football story brewing. Are we approaching the end of the greatest era that any coach has ever had with any NFL franchise? Bill Belichick addressing the media practically as we speak. You'll hear what he says coming up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Before we get on to other business here, hey, Kimberly Martin, the game is called Dope or Nope. The fit on Cam Newton yesterday, what is that?
I don't know, but honestly, the outfit pales in comparison to the nonsense that he was actually talking about. So
I actually think his nonsense is more defensible than that fit, personally.
I think that's got something to do like Christmas. I think he got a little like ugly sweater thing going like intentionally. At least I'm hoping that's the case.
I mean, I know that none of us know what's cool, but I'm fairly certain that the kids ain't rocking that.
Listen, you fishing for a compliment. You know what's cool.
Your dad should be looking good.
I'll say this. You know what I mean? My wife's asking me to go shop with you, so I want
to see Jeff Saturday in that.
That
is my goal in life. All right, to the NFL conversation. Dallas, Dak Prescott, Cowboys. They've won 5 straight. Huge game this weekend against Buffalo. The Cowboys are 10-3. They were 10-3 this time last year too. But listen to what Jerry Jones says about why this is going to be different.
What is your greatest reason for optimism that this year is going to be different?
I really think that Dak playing the way he's playing in coordination with what Mike's wanting it to be on the offensive side of the ball, they have a little different perspective when they're calling the plays on offense if they're the coordinator as well. And it's more complimentary. And I think we're getting the benefit of that.
Andrew Hawkins, is he right? Is it different this year? And if so, why?
Absolutely. It's completely different because the offense is taking steps, leaps, and bounds above where they were a year ago. And it's because Mike McCarthy and the way that he's deployed this West Coast offense. They came into the offseason. They called it the Texas Coast because it was like a mix of what they were doing and the traditional West Coast. There is so much detail and so many nuances that they've been able to implement as an offense that has allowed Dak Prescott to play loose. And that's not even just from last year. That's from the beginning of this season when they were still trying to figure it out and we were still questioning, can Dak take that next step? Well, now his approval ratings are higher than midday naps because he is now playing with looseness and he doesn't have all the pressure on him. Previously, he would have to roll out there and find the plays. So if he had a throw, it wasn't there. He forced it. It caused those turnovers. Now he knows there's answers to the test by staying within the system, and he's now playing the best football we've seen in his career.
Explain it, Jeff. For someone who doesn't know the intricacies of football the way you guys do, what is it that is different, and why is it making Dak so much better?
Concept-driven versus precision-driven, right? Like, you're seeing, you know, execution unfold in front of you. So wherever that receiver is supposed to be, they are there now. Mm-hmm. So Dak can trust that and put the ball where it's supposed to be. The expectation of where someone is allows him to execute at a much higher level. There is no more confusion. You know, compare this to, like, where Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are, where receivers are running weird routes, not getting to where they're supposed to. The best in the world. He's clutching the ball. He's not delivering it. You see the confidence that everybody is playing with in Dallas, and it allows that offense to open up. I'm just telling you, from a growth perspective for Dak, having this precise offense will unleash him and allow him to use all of his tools in his game.
Hearing you guys talk and thinking about what we saw from them last year, because they were great on offense last year too, and seeing what we see from them this year, what I've noticed is last year it felt like they were game planning for every game specifically, where it's like, all right, we know where we're going to go. We know how we're going to attack this team, which is nice. It's a nice thing to do when you have a smart coach and a smart quarterback. But it's different when you have a team that is so good that you're like, we're going to do what we do. Mm-hmm. We are going to execute this with a level of precision that even if you know it's fine, you can't stop it. You think about how many post touchdowns have we seen Dak throw. They get to the high red. Everybody knows they're running Dino double post and they can't stop it.
That's right.
And that's about them being precise, Dak being accurate. Yeah. Those windows that he's hitting, it's been really impressive for them so far this season.
I think what we're seeing is a quarterback take that next step as far as trusting himself, having ownership of the offense, but also this team giving him ownership of this offense. In the offseason, Mike McCarthy talked about how we know the defense is a strength of our team. We're going to cut down mistakes. We're going to be aggressive. But then they start off the season and you didn't see that. CeeDee Lamb was like, where is he? Do they know that Brandon Cooks is on this team? I think it is the combination of Mike McCarthy having to say, okay, you know what? That wasn't working. Let's try this. And giving Dak the freedom to say, you're our franchise guy. Yeah. Now play like it, and we will win because of you. That is a much different message than what was being said.
And let me say this. The thing that people don't probably give, like, Dak is a brilliant QB, right? He has got great football intelligence. And what Mike McCarthy's offense and as this thing has evolved, the answers are built in. So if he can figure out what the coverage is or what they're trying to do on the back end, he knows which side of the field to relegate his reads through. It speeds up the game so that protection becomes easier. The run game becomes easier because he sees when guys are going to drop in coverage. It allows him to put his intelligence and match it with this offense, and that's why you've seen the numbers produce the way they have.
So we'll see if Buffalo is ready for the Dino double post this week, because that clearly has been the play that has worked. All right, we're still waiting on Bill Belichick to speak. We'll hear from him at some point this morning. In the meantime, we'll get into Philadelphia. Is it time to panic after two straight blowouts? Are the Eagles in real trouble? We'll talk about that. Plus, it's pancake morning, and we've got a little appetizer. How about a crepe for Mr. Saturday?
Let's start out light right now, Brady. We don't want to get too heavy early, but we're going down to Miami with Alec Ingold. And listen, this guy is coming in on motion and is going to make this thing get to the defensive end and put him on his back. Let me tell you how hard that is, y'all. He's going one way, stops, puts his foot in the ground, then has to block off the edge rusher who outweighs him probably by 15, 20 pounds. Guess what? It don't matter. Leverage always wins. Take that big man. Boom! Put him on back. It's light. It's early. We're just getting the appetite going and flowing. Let me tell you, them pancakes are coming out. Somebody will put down. Smack. Smack. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some people like the cake smack. I mean,
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up at the bottom of the hour. And if you are just joining us, while you were sleeping, we had an incident in the NBA involving Draymond Green, Again, here you see it. Playing against Yusuf Nurkic in a game between the Warriors and Suns, Phoenix would ultimately win, but that's the story. This was Draymond. He was thrown out of the game with a flagrant two, and we are awaiting word from the NBA today. We have phone calls out to everyone and awaiting further word on whether or not there will be a suspension. Certainly one should be expected. Let us hear from overnight here.
It wasn't my intention to make that contact, any contact at all, really. Like I said, I was spinning away and trying to sell the foul. And unfortunately, bad luck. Trying to draw a foul and I made contact with him. I'll be the first to tell you anytime I intend to do something, anytime something was wrong, the turnout was wrong, but that wasn't my intention.
Okay, so that's what he said. Again, he has been suspended many times before, including, as you see, just last month. He got the 5-game suspension for that incident where he had Rudy Gobert in a headlock. This was just his 6th game back after that. And so Jay Williams has been with us all morning long. And again, we are awaiting any word from the league and will continue covering this as there is any further information. We've talked a great deal about it, but in case you're just getting up with us, for the folks who've not heard, let's go through all of it, starting with Draymond's explanation. He says that was an accident. What did it look like to you?
I don't believe anything Draymond Green said at all. I mean, I think the action was dumb. I think it was churlish. I think it was exceptionally excessive. And it deserved, flagrant two. He deserved to get ejected from the game. To me, think about the actions that we've had in the single calendar year, Green.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The stomp on Domantas Sabonis' chest in the playoffs.
Yep.
We got the choke out of Rudy Gobert, and now we got this. So I was strong in my stance on I thought he deserved 10 games. A lot of people disagree with me. He got 5 by the league overall. I think this is 15 to 20 games suspension, because to me, it needs to set a tone on what's no longer acceptable. And also, I will ask people at home that like to argue with me about this. When are we going to stop being a Draymond Green apologist? When are we going to stop enabling these type of behaviors and saying, hey, it's all part of the game, it's fine? When you listen to Draymond explain this wasn't intentional, it was just bad luck, are we joking with ourselves? That's bad luck that your arm swings extended, full hinged and swung? Like, that's not bad luck. He knew exactly what he was doing and he should be reprimanded for it.
So we will obviously have more on this. We have calls into the league. We're waiting for any further word. Jay will be with us, and then we'll be with Stephen A. and company on First Take at the top of the hour.
One last thing, Greeny. When are we going to start protecting the players instead of just protecting Draymond Green?
Yeah, let's say, look, you and I were both quite surprised that the suspension a month ago was only 5 games. You and I thought it would be more. I will be very surprised if this one isn't substantially more. The league has a lot to take into account here. We will hear from them, I'm sure, at some point today. And as soon as there is news, you will get it here. In the meantime, let me get back to my football crew for the moment. Let's switch gears. Kimberly Martin, the next game is called Hit the Gas or Pump the Brakes. For people who are saying Mike Tomlin's going to have his first losing season, you hit the gas or you pump the brakes?
Oh, this pains me to say, Greeny. I'm going to say hit the gas, not because of Mike Tomlin, but because of this locker room. Unfortunately, ego seems to be rampant in this locker room, and the players are going to cost their head coach his first losing season, and it's a shame.
Next, if people are saying Tommy DeVito, who, by the way, is the
Offensive Player of the Week, Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. If people are saying he should just be their quarterback from now on, hit the gas or pump the brakes?
Okay, I'm going to say pump the brakes, not because I don't want to see Tommy DeVito actually be the quarterback, but my question is, they just paid Daniel Jones. Like, where is he going? Where are you going to put Daniel Jones? That's really it. It's the fact that Daniel Jones is injured and he's going to come back. That's the only reason I see Danny being the starter going forward.
By the way, Tommy DeVito and Zach Wilson this weekend.
Great day for players of the week.
Let's go to the NFC. If someone says that conference is a two-horse race, Niners, Cowboys, and that's it, hit the gas or pump the brakes?
Brakes, Greeny. Did the Eagles fall off the face of the earth? Where are they? Again, I said it earlier. I'm old enough to remember people talking about Jalen Hurts as the ultimate closer and this team having one of the best rosters. I think this has been a bad stretch, not a bad time for the Eagles. Put them in there.
Are the Eagles still, after these last 2 weeks in which they've really been manhandled by the Niners and the Cowboys, Hawk, are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Yes, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. To Kimberly's point, we've been here all season. All of a sudden, are they not one of the most talented rosters in the league? They did beat the Cowboys the first time. I know we have recency bias and we think the sky is falling down. Do they have identity issues on offense? Absolutely. Do they have to figure out their defense and where all those holes are coming from? for sure. But this has been who they've been all season, and they've won in spite of that because of who they have in that locker room. And I think that's a good thing because they are battle-tested. They built that perseverance, and they know how to win close games against good teams. You talked earlier about the point differential versus the Cowboys and the 49ers and
right.
them.
Yep.
They've played a harder schedule. We've talked Absolutely. All season about the Cowboys' cupcake schedule. So, yes, they're going to have a bigger point differential in their wins.
It is, however, substantial. The Cowboys and the Eagles have the same record. The Cowboys have outscored their opposition by 188 points. The Eagles have outscored theirs by 21 points. It's a substantial difference. The schedules do flip, though, now. Mm-hmm. The Eagles yep. have a much easier ride yep. the rest of the way. Neek.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absurd to say the defending NFC champs don't have a chance, but they have come back to the pack. Last year was obvious. Yeah. They were the best team, it seemed like, in all of football last year, and it was pretty clear. Now they're in the pack, and the problem with these close games is you can't control the luck and the bounces of it. So, yes, Jalen Hurts can be a great closer, and this team can be super talented, but I find it hard to imagine that they're going to win three close games in a row in the playoffs against the best in the NFL.
Look at the great note there from Himbo. The Eagles have played the hardest schedule in the NFL. The Cowboys have played the third easiest. A reminder, the Cowboys have tough games coming up. They've got Buffalo, they've got Baltimore, and they've got one more very challenging game. It's jumping out of my head what it is. Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of games against good teams here. Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you look at last year and this year, and we just talked about, they weren't the runaway team they were last year, right? They've got a play differential offensive as a minus 75. That means they played basically a game and a half extra on defense. So their defense is fatigued, and they've played some really good offenses, right, and tried to stop them. Their offense, they've had a plus 41 explosive plays last year. They got plus one this year. So both sides of the ball isn't getting it done. They're not running the ball as well this year. So there's some areas that they can improve. But let me tell you, they got four get-right games, and Dallas just had their get-right games. They lost to the Eagles one time, and they beat the Eagles one time, right? Division opponents, you expect that kind of thing. But if the Eagles get their stuff right over the next four, they will be trending in those bigger numbers, right? 80-point differential, whatever it is, because they should put these teams away. I think the issue is we find the last two games in San Fran and Dallas, and we put an indictment on the Eagles. They haven't played as well. They're still won 10 games with the hardest schedule in the league.
Is the NFC at the end of the day, though? I'll give you a last unofficial.
You're not going to get me to say 49ers Invitational.
Is it the San Francisco Invitational? Pump the gas, or what is it? Hit the gas, pump the brakes.
Yeah, I'm going to say hit the gas.
Yeah,
because
you're right.
Preseason, Jeffrey, want to hear this genius? You know, my genius is genius that
yes.
isn't appreciated.
Will never be fully appreciated, yeah.
Preseason, my Super Bowl teams, Baltimore, 49ers.
Mm.
Solid. Good right now.
Good right now.
Right now, one seeds possibility on both sides. Okay, we've got a lot more football to do, but right now, are you hungry at all?
Yeah.
Oh. Breakfast?
I can go.
Let's
I can
get pancakes.
Yeah.
Let's pancakes is one of our favorite things.
So let me show you how we're going to get this thing started.
We're back, baby.
Bam, bam, bam. You got it in the mud.
That's how we start this off.
Let's go.
It's a thing of beauty.
Dominique Foxworth just spanked pancakes on you.
We are back!
Can we do one more pick?
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It is everybody's favorite. Hey, Hawk, welcome.
See you, Hawk.
To Saturday.
Ready, big fella? Cranking it up. Hey, we're going to Packerland. My man Kraft, we're going to show this up on the first Saddam Down. I want you to watch the screen, get behind it, run your pads, and look, caught him a little man, and dunked him a little man. He found him, he took him to the sideline, fit and finish, put him down on the ground, and listen, you can't see it, but when he gets up, he's talking trash to him. He's letting him know,
yeah.
hey, took care of my business, put him out there. You got to like it, it's one, because a lot of little man on little man action. Not great, not great. But we give him one pancake to start this thing out. Now here we go. Hey, Glowinski, check it out in Giants land. Here we go. Flip them around. Now we're going right here. We get them in motion. Go get somebody. The whole side of the defensive line gets what? The better vision right here, right here. Come get it. Oh, yeah. Everybody. Everybody's down. Everybody's getting taken out. You got to love it. When you put a sixth O-lineman in the game, things get better. They get more physical. They get a lot more fun. We put people down. That's two pancakes on the last center. And here we go to finish this thing, y'all.
Excellent.
Tyler Smith. You talk about, I'm just going to give you a receive it, because look at this man. Take that dude. This is one-on-one action. This is, hey, ain't nobody helping. This is, I caught you up on your pads. I am taking you back, and I am going to finish you.
You talk about the Cowboys' attitude changing. Let me tell you what that does right there. That is some nastiness. That man is taking a grown man, hitting him, and putting him on his back and staying on top. That's what I'm talking about.
Did you just yell holding?
Yeah, you got him wrapped. It's a damn tackle. Don't call that trash, bro. It's like offside. We don't complain about all that.
Do we have a bonus pancake today?
We might have a bonus pancake.
We have a bonus.
My man Swagoo.
And we got a defense.
Yeah! One. Oh my goodness. All right, so listen. Sometimes the little guys get caught, okay?
Get in there. And he made the tackle.
And made the play. Listen, this is as nasty as it gets. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what he said. When he got hit right here on the side, hey, chin strap unbuckle, he got up. One, helmet's facing this way, eyes facing this way. That was nasty.
Well, let me get a defensive guy. What must he say? Give me a receiving.
Receiving. Ran through that. Yeah. Inmate attack. That is a pancake. They should all be like that.
Revenge.
So is good.
Like pancakes. Best served up sweet. Coming up, are we approaching the end of the Bill Belichick era? He has been asked about his future this morning. You will hear what he said coming up in a moment. But first, Neek, stand up. We got a question for you. I know he's cleaning up already. But we got to do the question. Here we go. Who is the winningest quarterback in NFL history who was drafted in the seventh round? We can't see the question. All right, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy drafted in the seventh round.
Okay.
Who's the winningest quarterback in NFL history who was a seventh round pick?
Brady was six, right?
The answer is next.
That'll be him. I don't know. Seventh round quarterback, winningest quarterback.
I like it. We got some thoughts. We got some thoughts.
They had like 47 rounds back in the day, didn't they?
All right, here we go. Brock Purdy was drafted in the seventh round. I'll remind everyone, there used to be a lot more than seven rounds in the NFL draft. The question is this. Who is the winningest quarterback in NFL history who was a seventh round pick?
All right, I had a hard time with this one, but because I'm a man of integrity, I will let you know that I got a text from a friend. So I'm balancing between Fitzpatrick and Gus Frerotte. Let's go with my original pick. Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Gus Frerotte is second.
Oh.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is right.
That's correct.
No cheating. No Googling.
Yeah.
Just dunking. It's a really. It's.
Shout out to Tyler. Way to go, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Hambo, it's upset. The answers are actually very interesting.
It's help.
The correct answer is Ryan Fitzpatrick, followed by Gus Frerotte, Matt Cassel, yeah. Pat Hayden, Brock Purdy, Trevor Siemian. A lot of good seventh round quarterbacks. Okay, next order of business. Despite the Patriots' win over the Steelers last Thursday, New England is 3-10. It's by far the worst winning percentage of Bill Belichick's coaching career. He was asked about his future this morning after new reports have emerged yesterday. Here's all he was willing to say.
Do you have an understanding that Robert will not ask you to be back next year?
Yeah, getting ready for Kansas City. That's what I'm doing.
Have you and Robert discussed your future beyond this season?
Getting ready for Kansas City.
Okay, so he's getting ready for Kansas City, and that was probably a very predictable way for him to respond to those questions. The reports coming out of Boston yesterday that we have not confirmed are that Belichick and the Patriots have already had conversations about his future being no longer being the coach next year. That is not confirmed by us, but that's what was out there, so you have the context of why the questions are being asked. Let's just go around the group here. Kmart is my insider. What is your expectation?
So you know what's funny? I was in Cincinnati covering a game, and pregame I saw on the screen Rich Eisen, NFL Network, was sitting down with Robert Kraft. They were in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, was talking about how important winning in Germany was.
Yeah.
And he was saying, this has been a really disappointing season, but today is a reset. These international games are huge. It's the next best thing to the Super Bowl, like
yes.
A bigger stage. And watching that interview, I had a thought like, man, like they better win today, because Robert Kraft is literally talking about the pride that he has in this organization and how they have fallen short. And the Patriots went on to lose to the Colts, I believe.
Yeah. And I think they didn't score, right? What was the score? Like 10 or something like that?
It was a very ugly game.
Ugly game.
And I just remember that moment watching that interview because it felt different. Like it felt, and I'm shocked. I've said, you know, Belichick, he didn't just forget how to coach. I think the issue has been personnel, has been draft picks. Find somebody else to pick the players, let Bill coach. He didn't just, like, this is one of the greatest coaches ever. It would be a sad thing to
quickly. This, the final score of that game was 10-6. The Patriots did not score a touchdown. They kicked two field goals. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you're talking about Bill Belichick, if I'm Robert Kraft, if he would take a role at just as a coach and bring in a general manager and not try to run the entire organization, I would keep him around. I mean, this guy has been an incredible football coach. He has done a tremendous. It's hard to win the NFL with not a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And listen, part of that is Belichick's fault, right? The coaching staff they gave him in year two, McDaniels left, that's on him as well. Right? He's made some decisions that have brought this on himself. It's just it is a painful watch for a guy who's been as successful as he has.
I'm with you. I think that, like, you know, this is an exclusive situation that is not typical in head coaches. He's the best coach ever.
Right.
You don't run him off. That's just my opinion. I think you remove general manager duties because their problem isn't the X's and O's. It's the Jimmy's and the Joes.
Yeah.
That being said, as someone who was in that Patriots locker room for even a little bit of time, that goes against everything that Bill Belichick stands for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's, I don't care what round you were drafted in. I don't care what you've done previously. What have you done now? And do you give us the best chance to be successful? Mm-hmm. And in that vein,
I think it's unrealistic to expect Bill Belichick to hand over personnel responsibility.
That's fair.
So that means that he might be out. But to your point, he hasn't forgotten how to coach. That defense is really, really good.
Yes.
So it's going to be nice for someone else to pick him up. Yes. But there's also a possibility that the time that you've spent there is like you've gone stale. Listen. I don't see it that way. Yeah. I wouldn't move on from him because the way that this defense is playing. But
let me say this about Bill Belichick, too. So I had him at the Pro Bowl as a coach. This is one of the few coaches I can say this, and I mean this all. He could coach any position in football. There are not many who could do it. When I tell you he could coach O-line, D-line, receiver, like this dude gets ball better than anybody I've been around. He is a savant at the game. And so that much coaching experience and success doesn't just fade away.
Yeah.
But again, he has brought it up.
It doesn't seem like the game has passed them by.
No.
I think sometimes for people who've been around for a long time and a lot of success, you can say, oh, well, the game is passing by. It doesn't seem like the game is passing by. It seems like there are other issues within the coaching staff and within the roster development.
Right.
So those are also issues that come with it. So do you think that his coaching ability outweighs all those other problems? I would have a hard time from moving on from somebody who won me six of the big ones, but hey.
I understand. I think it is almost impossible to fathom the relationship change you would be asking him to accept if you said to him, well, from now on, we're going to bring someone else in who has the say in personnel. Not that this is a perfect analogy, but imagine telling your wife, well, from now on, I'm bringing someone else in, and she's going to do some of the stuff that we usually do together. Yeah. Like, that's just not going to go.
Well, which part of the stuff?
I mean, sounds fun. But
also
saying,
depends on where you're from.
I think it is that. I knew I was going to regret making that analogy.
Just saying, you never know.
I think the point is, I believe that Bill Belichick will be the head coach and the person in charge of the football operations somewhere next year. And if it isn't New England, then there will be another team out there. They should be lined up down the block.
They will be.
To try and get Bill Belichick in there. And there are going to be half a dozen places where that'll be an option.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, but it's not only a personnel decision. It seems like it's also some of the coaching decisions. And
there are
people in that organization who have had success, and there are people in that organization who seem like they've been protected by the success that they've had. So we'll see what happens when he goes somewhere else.
And I also don't – it's going to be understated the effect that this is going to have on the Patriots. I'm talking about Bill Belichick controls every piece of that building, what you eat, the interviews you do in media. When I signed there, I was fresh off of graduating from Columbia with my master's. I got more interview requests than I'd ever had. I couldn't do a single interview because Bill Belichick said no.
Oh, so that's why.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's why it took me so long to get here.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. Great work today.
Yes, sir.
Good to have you in here. It's been an unbelievable morning. Again, we're waiting on any word on the Draymond thing, and as soon as there is any, you will get it immediately. In the meantime, a reminder, our next 30 for 30 is Minister of Defense.
Mm.
It premieres tonight, 9 Eastern. I saw you at the preview.
So good.
You loved it, right?
Yes, I loved it.
The film
Please
is
watch.
Great.
Oh,
it's all about the great Reggie White, features his son Jeremy. It'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere, but you'll see it tonight, 9 Eastern, on ESPN. Or as I mentioned, First Take is coming up top of the hour here. How long should we expect Draymond's suspension to be? Stephen A. will react with Molly and Jay Will and Mad Dog and more top of the hour here on ESPN. All right, the NCAA Women's Volleyball Semifinals tomorrow night on ESPN and the at Pittsburgh, Nebraska, 7 Eastern. Then Texas, the defending champs, taking on Wisconsin. The winners will play for the national championship Sunday, 3 Eastern on ABC. Before we send it over to First Take, again, another reminder, the overwhelming story of the night. But perhaps while you were sleeping, Draymond Green involved in this moment with Yusuf Nurkic of the Suns in a game that Phoenix would go on to win. Draymond ejected there with a flagrant 2. This just a month removed from his 5-game suspension. 6 games after he returned from that, after the Rudy Gobert incident, we see this happened. And so again, we are waiting to hear from Stephen A. and Mad Dog and everyone else who will react on First Take. We've talked about it a great deal here this morning. I know, Meek, one of the things you're concerned about is just that there is some precedent that will be set here, perhaps, and that some rules are followed.
Yeah, I mean, I just like process. You keep showing this video, and it's hard for me to make an argument other than throw the book at him. But I do think that players should understand that whatever they allow the league to do now is then the precedent. When someone else throws a punch, whether it is you deem it intentional or not, then the league will be expected to do a similar punishment to what they're doing to Draymond Green, especially if the person has a history that Draymond obviously has.
Yeah, second one in 6 days and 3 in 30 days or whatever. Yeah.
31 days.
Yeah.
It's a little much.
Jeff just want to fight.
Jeff is mad. He can't do this.
Anyway, we are out of time here. As soon as there was word from the NBA, you will get it immediately. The conversation continues on First Take now.